Yes, this is the Narbos and Broomheads podcast, but we are taking a break from reviewing Degrassi episodes. We're going to shift our focus to my so-called life over the next few months. We hope you'll stick around for this journey. If you want to touch base with us, all of the same social media, at Narbos Podcast on Twitter, at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast on Instagram, and narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com if you want to talk to us about my so-called life or come on to an episode. Please let us know. We will get back to Degrassi episodes after we're done reviewing my so-called life in a few months. Don't fear, though. If you're missing that content, we've got well over 150 episodes of Degrassi reviews for you. Head over to anywhere where you listen to your podcasts and go back into our history. Hope you enjoy them, and hopefully you'll enjoy our reviews of my so-called life. Let's do it.
The Narbos and Broomheads podcast, where in our world there are always four truths: 1, death; 2, taxes; 3, if there's anything for Patty to stick her nose into, she'll go in with both nostrils; and 4, that every Tuesday you will have a wonderful carass of friends in your podcast feed, getting atop their high horses and sticking their noses into something that is almost 30 years old.
Woo!
And that, my friends, is my so-called life. And who do we have in this wonderful group of people getting their noses into each other's business? Well, I'm going to take out my 9-iron, take a little chip shot, because that's golf, and it's spring in Ontario, just a little ways northeast, for the last time northeast, to my good friend, Slip.
Yeah, I guess technically I'll be, like, pretty much straight shot down the highway from where you're at.
Straight east now, basically?
They're still a little north, but not to the same degree. But yes, this is the last time in this studio before I move to the super secret location studio.
Ooh, mm-hmm.
Yeah, Alan here. And yeah, if you hear an echo more than usual on my end, it's because I am in pretty much an empty apartment. So just like my soul, completely empty. Anyways... I'm going to break out my driver because we have to hit this one long all the way out.
Back my dong.
Yeah, I'm trying to think which way. I'm going to go. All right. Yes. Sorry. Almost missed that one.
I'm
going to hit.
Almost missed that.
Let's go out east, all the way out east. Who is way, 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 way out there?
Hey, you know, it's me. I'm Ted. Hello. The golf courses are opening here. And I don't know how, because I thought you had to have some type of, like, plant life in order to open a golf course, but I don't know.
Not minus degree weather?
Well, I'm looking across at my weather station, across the table, and it's 1.5 degrees here, Celsius. It's cold, and it was snowing today. So,
oh, my God.
There's pictures of people like, these are our first golfers, and it's people in basically snowsuits going, what are you doing? I guess... But some people, hardcore golfers. Me, yeah. Not so much. Dabbler at best. So that's me. Let's get, yeah, okay, I'm going to pick up my driver and I'm going to aim for Mexico, but I'm going to hit it really hard. And this is honestly how I shoot. If I was going to go to Regina, I'd aim for Mexico and hit it, and it might roll corkscrew into this lady's town. Who could that be?
It's me. It's Arlo coming to you from Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And I feel for you, Ted. Like, our spring was just horrible. Like, it's been horrible so far. It was a little nicer today. It's been a little nicer this week. It was about 10 or 12 degrees today. So much better than it has been. But it's been so slow, and it's just been painful. And the fact that it snowed there today for you, I just can't. Like, I can't. Like, I mean, I know I've been saying it for weeks, but I would, like, just slit my wrist if it snowed today.
Yeah, I know. Thank you for the appreciation, because
the
commiseration. I was walking Linda today, and she barked at one lady, which she doesn't usually do, and she barked at two dogs who are passing by in trucks. And I was like, well, that's bad, but better you than me, because I was like, get out of here, keep moving. That. What are you looking at? So it's just a miserable, miserable feeling when it's just that cold.
I'm hoping that we don't revert now. Like, I'm hoping that it stays these sort of middling temperatures. Like, it still freezes overnight. You know, I'm not getting ready to plant my garden anytime soon or anything. But, you know, so far in the afternoon, it's nice enough that you can go out without wearing a gigantic parka and snow boots, you know? And that's all I ask for. I did plant some seedlings indoors this weekend, though. And some of them are already starting to come up. Even though I just planted them like 4 days ago. So far, I planted tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, zucchinis, and watermelons.
Look at you. You're optimistic. Yes.
And watermelons. All right.
Well, we have such a short growing season in this part of the country that you really have to start them well in advance indoors. Like, they're not going to be going into the ground for at least another month.
You got to get them out the grocery stores.
Yeah.
Them sure. Regina-grown watermelons.
You sell them at the local boutique.
Well, the watermelon, it's an Early Canada variety. So it's called Early Canada. So I'm hoping that it will be Early Canada enough that it will grow here.
And it's emoji face, like giving a wink, like a ironic wink, like, yeah, Canada. Here we go. Watermelons. Thanks.
Turns out it's actually a potato.
I mean, other, like, cantaloupes grow really well here, and squash and pumpkins and things like that. So, sure, let's give it a go.
Okay, and I'm Tim. I'm hosting tonight. We'll do a little recap of episode 14 on the wagon. So last week we did the first half. Arlo so eloquently made love to that episode.
Oh, God.
She could. And a reminder that it's directed by Jeff Perry and written by Winnie Holtzman and Lizzie Gill. So we have Jordan, who is super angry that Tino has quit the Frozen Embryos, and it seems like his entire life as well. He's leaving them without a lead singer in Rayanne, who seems to see herself as a singer, and we'll judge that, I guess, as the episode goes on, has jumped at the chance to join the band. Jordan doesn't really seem to notice Angela hanging around far too much, I would say, for someone who just broke up with him. And Patty is suspicious that Rayanne is drinking again and angry that she never thanked her for saving her life.
Yes.
Stop that. Don't do that. Yep. Thank you, Patty.
Yep. And that's sort of where we kind of left off. We left off with Rayanne finding out that she's in the band. So now we jump to the next morning, I guess we can say, from last week. Patty has decided against everything Graham told her and is calling Rayanne's house. And she happens to wake up Amber, who wakes up coughing. And now this might be an Ontario term, I don't know. Coughing like she's been hacking darts all night. Not sure if that's widely, that is meant for like smoking cigarettes, is something you say in around here, hacking darts. But I don't know if that's a widely used sentence. But so she's hacking away. Amber starts to talk about some weird dream about Angela and Jordan and Rayanne herself in a log cabin. And Patty shuts that down pretty quickly, saying that Jordan and Angela have broken up and they decided to only be friends, to which Amber just laughs.
Yeah.
This is Amber's mom is Rayanne's mom. Or sorry, Amber is definitely Rayanne's mom when you hear this. She wants to know how Patty wants to know how Rayanne is, and Amber tells her that since she's on the wagon, she's no fun, as she takes a long swig from an open Coke bottle.
Warm, flat Coke.
Nothing like an AM Coke bottle.
Yeah.
Nothing like being dehydrated and just some nice, flat.
Well, yeah, when you're dehydrated, you're just drinking whatever's around you.
Ugh.
Probably has a cigarette. Butt in the bottom.
There's one floating around it.
It reminds me on Trailer Park Boys when Ricky used to just drink out of like half cut off 2 liter bottles of pop.
It's cup. Yeah. Delicious.
Dog water.
Water dish. Yeah.
Dish. Yeah. Excuse me. Dish. Mm. Yeah. So this is quite a scene and gives us an insight into what Patty kind of thinks of Amber as a parent. She calls because she wants to tell her that Rayanne is drinking again. Amber says it's not true and that she's as certain of it as Patty is of Angela and Jordan being just friends, to which they sort of leave it at that, I guess.
Yep.
Well, and you know, as predicted, Amber does not take kindly to Patty sort of suggesting that.
Insinuations.
Yeah, that she's dropping the ball somewhere.
Well, you know what? We'll see this quite regularly where we see that Patty really comes off and we're led to believe that she thinks that Amber is a bad mom and dumb, not smart, not intelligent, and a constant fight back from Amber saying, I am not dumb and I am a good parent. So,
I mean, this is partly Patty and this is partly Amber, right? You know, Amber has a very different style in all aspects of her life than Patty does.
They're like opposites.
Right? In Patty's mind, if you don't do things the way that she does them, then it's inferior. It's not right. It's bad. Right.
Absolutely.
And, but it, you know, in Amber's case, like that is maybe sometimes the case and maybe it is sometimes not the case. She's definitely different in her lifestyle than Patty is.
Also, but, can you imagine being hungover and the phone rings, you pick it up and it's Patty Chase on the other end of the line? Oh, God. Yeah. Kill me now.
That voice is just continuing the hangover for at least another hour.
Uh-huh. Oh.
But the thing is, you know, Patty's like there, like calling, and, you know, what time do you think this is? Like 10 a.m.?
Probably.
Like she's probably
ready to go to work, right?
She's been up since before. She's been up since 5:30 ironing her fucking pantsuit. Like, you know?
Power pantsuit.
Well, and you know, if somebody called me, if it was my day to sleep in, like it was a Saturday or a day I didn't have to work or something like that, and somebody called me at fucking 8 a.m., I would not be pleased. Like that's not the lifestyle that I lead. I don't have a bunch of toddlers, you know, this is not
calling specifically to talk about your parenting, right? Not like these two aren't friends, right? It's not like they're friends and they're talking about other bullshit and then she brings this up. This is the only reason that Patty is calling for at like 8 in the morning or whatever. Like I would tell her to fuck off too.
She can't help herself. She cannot, like this second half of this episode, she cannot help herself.
Even if Rayanne was in the bed with Amber and Amber was pouring beers down her throat. That's still a dick move from Patty. I'd still be like, fuck you. Yeah.
I'm a great mother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Body shots. Okay, so we jump to another band practice and the band continually can't seem to get it together. I was like, and as we learn, as in most high school bands, they're a cover band and their song that they're practicing for their big gig is I Want to Be Sedated by the Ramones, and I will let any of you three who are well more versed in music, probably the Ramones and I, you can talk about it a little bit if you want. I don't know.
That's a cover song? Just kidding. I Want to Be Sedated by Frozen Embryos, and I get no hits, so. I like the Ramones to the point where, you know, I know kind of all of the singles, right? Like all of the big songs. I'm not like a crazy, like, I know they're all dead. I know that they're all, what, from New York, as most punk bands were.
They were pioneers of punk music. One of the interesting things that I learned from my husband Drew, because he's a punk and knows a lot more about the stuff than I do, is that, like, they didn't, like, Joey Ramone has said that, like, he didn't, like, go out to, like, play punk music. He liked surf music.
Oh, yes.
That's very different.
And they went out and they were playing what to them sounded like surf music. And they, like, and they played it their surf music their way kind of thing. And it caused this huge freaking music revolution into punk, basically.
Yeah. And their names aren't all like Ramone. That's, it's all a gimmick. But every person in this band was named Ramone. And again, I think the four original members all passed away quite young. But their music is really good. And I Want to Be Sedated is probably their most well-known song, I would guess.
I would say arguably, probably.
Oh, yeah, Blitzkrieg Bop is another one. Yeah.
AO Let's Go.
Oh, Rock and Roll High School.
Yeah. I guess that one too. I don't know if that one's. I don't know. I'd have to look up chart placings.
I played Blitzkrieg Bop on Rock Band. Does that count?
Yes, it does count. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'm in the conversation.
I think this episode was maybe the first time for me being aware of I Want to Be Sedated, potentially.
Oh, really?
What, back in the day
I think so.
Or now?
Yeah, no, back in the day.
The part that's interesting to me is, like, would Jordan and the members of this band know this song? Like, I mean, obviously they do, but in real life, like, I'm trying to think if the Ramones, I guess, you know, again, like, I was suburban high school, pretty, like, mainstream kind of music. I didn't know a lot of people who were into punk, but obviously there were a lot of people that were, right? So, but I don't know if Jordan and his friends strike me as we listen to a lot of punk music.
Well, and would this be a song that they would pick to play, right? Like, they might know it, but it doesn't seem like, I wasn't in high school at this time. It's a little bit before I made it to high school, so my high school experience is different with type of music, but you guys could probably say, like, if you heard some friends that you had in a band, were they playing this kind of music as a cover?
Like, when I was, like I say, like, this is probably, like, the first foray into this for me when I was a kid, but, like, I was, like, 14, right? Like, Jordan's more, like, 17 or 18 or 19 or 23, right?
Yeah.
Well, the last one.
So, like, when I was 14, like, I was kind of listening to, like, top hits radio and stuff like that, but by the time I was 16, I was, like, obsessed with David Bowie. So, you know, I think it... I think sometimes you get into older stuff at a certain point in your teen years, and I don't know, I buy it.
And the Ramones weren't, like you were saying, like, they weren't really the punk thing. They were in the surf music, but they were also in, like, 50s doo-wop. They were really inspired by that. Very straightforward, super hooky, earworm, get in, get out. Like,
and it's neat. It's neat once you know that, because you can pick it out in their punk songs.
So you're saying they tried to be the Beach Boys and just came out like this?
Yeah, kind of.
Wow, that is
like
wild.
They're just playing it hard and fast and straightforward. Like, that's the thing with this, picking this as a cover, because to reimagine it is really difficult, because it's boiled down to its bare bones as it is. It's straightforward. Right. It's aggressive. Chug, 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 chug. Move forward, get it done, get in, get out. Like, because there is a scene coming up where her and her mom are harmonizing it, and it sounds really bad.
Yeah,
there's some different takes on songs in this episode that just seem odd.
I buy kids of this time being into punk music, because a lot of the grunge bands at that time were citing those their inspirations.
Yeah, fair.
Because there's a lot of similarities in those kinds of musical movements, so like I do buy it.
Also, the album cover for the Ramones' "Rocket to Russia," which is the four of them kind of posing against the wall, there is a spoof of that where it's the Ramones, but all of their heads are Razor Ramon, and it says the Ramones, and it's one of the greatest T-shirts of all time. So
5 stars.
Yeah.
Just so, if we look a little closer at this band practice, we understand there's some hijinks and hilarity happening. Rand's mic doesn't seem to work. Someone's yelling that an amp's too loud. One of the players can't keep a beat. And then the practice abruptly ends with, at first when I watched it, I kind of thought they had quit the band. Like, well, that's it, I'm quitting. But then I thought more into it. No, these are high school kids. So they're just quitting the practice. They've had enough of the practice. And I thought to myself, you know what? This band needs to call one Bruce Dickinson into their bands, because you know that when he puts his pants on, he makes gold records. Named Bruce Dickinson for you SNL people. But anyway, I find at the beginning of this episode, there are a lot of quick scenes, which I find is very kind of strange for this show. This show seems to let scenes breathe a little bit, and it seems a little different of an episode. Like, we're bang here, bang there. Now we're jumping to the school after the practice, which like, it just seems like it's very, I don't know, ADD right now. Like, not focusing on one thing. And I don't know if that's just the way it is, because they're trying to cover lots of stuff, or what it is. But we jump from this practice all the way now we're to school again.
Well, it is the first time we've seen this director, right?
Yeah, and that could just be his style. Exactly. Like, or the, yeah, it felt different, and I could be wrong, but it felt different when I was watching. When I was trying to make notes here, I'm like, holy crap, like, now I'm worried now. Now we're here. What is going on?
While they're doing this band practice as well, like, it's very clear that Rayanne is not the front person, at least not at this point. Like, she's as ready to be the front person of this band as Graham is to be a chef in a new restaurant.
Which is very ready.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not that? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so, I mean, she's happy to dance up there, but, yeah, it's not working, and it makes you worried.
It's easier to say you want to be a singer than actually be the front person of a band.
Yeah.
And especially with the Ramones, because, like, Joey Ramone was always purposefully, like, super shy in real life, but always purposely, like, leaning forward, like, really, literally, both figuratively, lyrically, and leaning into the song. And that's what that song needs. You need to be very straightforward right down the middle. But she is not. She's like that in other parts of her life, but not on stage, not in front of an open mic, you know.
Watching this back now, like, it was a lot more clear to me that she is, I mean, spoiler alert, is that it's not going to go well for her. Like, when I was originally watching this as a kid, like, I, you know, like, she's singing in the bathroom and she has a great voice and she looks really cool, so of course she's going to do fine. It came as a surprise to me when it didn't go well, I think, when I first watched it. But now watching it back, I'm like, well, obviously it's fucking
awful. They laid the tracks for it.
So we're back at school now, and Jordan is standing, as Jordan does, in the hall, and then snaps out of his stupor when he sees Rayanne and tells her that their audition, but I originally thought this was a gig they had. So I'm a little confused. Maybe I'm the one who's wrong here and not paying enough attention, but I thought they were having, I didn't think this was an audition they were going for to play, but he specifically says their audition is at Vertigo that night.
Yeah, I got the impression earlier that it was an open mic and now it's an audition, but it is an open mic because there are people, like, when you audition, you typically audition for, you know, a set of panelists. And as we're going to see, it's open mic. Like, that's what it's going to be. So, yeah. But yeah,
Jordan, maybe it's like a little from column A, a little from column B. It's like an open mic night, but if, like, the club owner likes you, then maybe you'll get a gig, like, or something like that. I don't know.
Sure.
Or maybe it's one of those things where it is an audition, but they see it as their big gig chance. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's kind of the joke, is that they're thinking it's this big deal.
Yeah.
But it's just this little open mic, like, literally, it's like karaoke. Literally anybody can get an open mic. If you put your name on the piece of paper, you can get up.
Yeah.
You can get up and do anything. Like, there's nobody vetting you. You're just getting up and doing your thing.
So anyway, he reminds Rayanne that it is tonight, that this is when they have to be there. And then her job is to think of a band name and wear something tight.
Uh-huh.
Rayanne starts to kind of panic a little bit, saying she doesn't think they're ready. But Georgia says, fuck it. The show must go on. Get your shit together. You asked for this. So, you know, Jordan's taking the reins here and saying, you know what? If you're part of Name to Be Determined, you better get your shit together. So this is the one time where we're seeing Jordan actually taking the reins and seeing that he actually does want this, maybe?
He's not wrong. She inserted herself into this band. It's like, what the fuck did you want? Like, here it is. So, yeah.
So then we skip quickly. So, like, again, this is a quick scene. Then we skip quickly to Angela's house. Rayanne's over there bothering her to try and borrow her boots. And Angela's going into this whole long-winded thing about she's not sure about going because her parents are strict about school nights, which we know isn't true. She goes out whenever the fuck she wants. There is no rules for when she's
Angela's
gone.
Such a liar, you know? I never realized how much she just flat out lies to people. Until rewatching this, like, she lies constantly.
She's lying to herself. She's lying to her parents. She's lying to her friends. Yeah. So anyway, Rayanne makes it seem like she's okay that she's not coming. We know that's not the truth, but it's okay because Ricky's invited half the school. And then we will see in a little bit that it seems like most of the school must have missed that invitation, or Ricky doesn't have the power that Rayanne thinks he has. Ran goes on to mention that she doesn't even know what song they're singing. Out of frustration, she then decides, and here we start going with what's going to play over here. She starts to reach for the whiskey on the counter and the decanter and pours herself a glass. She's only pretending she's going to drink it. Angela kind of stops her. Is she kind of like, now, so are we led to believe that she really was? Is she really forgetting the song? Did she actually know the song? Is she just fucking with Angela because Angela's kind of fucking with her and not being a good friend? Or is this her way to play off the fact that she reached for the alcohol?
She's joking. This is like the second time in this episode that she's been joking. Like last time it was that she was so upset that Angela ditched her that she chugged a six pack and was fine. True. And now it's like, oh, I'm so stressed out, I need to have a drink. Just kidding. And like, I think it's her way again of sort of dealing with the seriousness of the situation without admitting the seriousness of it. So it's by making jokes.
I'm a little surprised here that Angela isn't going to this. I could see it if it was just Rayanne, but Jordan is there.
And well, that's where I was a little lost too, because I wasn't sure if that's why she doesn't want to go, because Jordan's there, but you would think that would be her way to interject herself again.
Well, and like Jordan is there and Ricky is there, and I mean to a lesser extent for her, but Brian Krakow is fucking there. Right? But like all of her friends are out to this, and she has made the decision not to go, which doesn't seem like normal.
She's been trying to convince Jordan that she had nothing to do with this, and like sort of like she and this embarrassing person aren't really that great of friends anyway. Mm-hmm. And like she's worried that Rayanne's going to make a total fool out of herself, and then she'll come over to Angela and Angela's going to have to like explain that to Jordan. Yeah. Like I think that's what it is.
I would say like since she's her friend, and sitting in the audience and expecting something really, really, really awkward to happen, yeah, I'd probably prefer not to be there. Just because it's just that burn of somebody else. You might be sitting in the dark, but you're watching somebody else and you have the empathy for them going, oh, God, this is really bad. Like, this is as bad as if I was up there. It's, yeah. So maybe she's just totally avoiding it, even though Jordan Catalano's there.
So then we're jumping to Rayanne's house, and Rayanne, we see her in front of a mirror practicing her look, like how she's going to dress. She's singing kind of a little bit, and then Amber comes in. She starts singing with her, and like it has this Broadway-esque kind of feel to it.
24 hours, 20, 20. Yeah, let me listen.
Harmonizing.
24 hours to go, go, no, go, go. And they're doing this thing. Ugh, gross.
So it's one of those times where I'm like, I don't know if this song sounds like it should sound this way, but whatever, mom and daughter having some fun. It's nice to see, I guess, like when we're being told that, you know, she's not a good mother and like, well, no, they're having fun together and stuff. But she's also really interested if Angela's excited about tonight. So we always have this thing where Amber brings up, how's Angela? Is she excited? It feels like Amber really wants to be Angela's friend.
Either that or like Angela is for... as far as Amber knows, right? Like normal, not fucked up, like probably a good influence. Like the things that Rayanne looks, what? You know, remember when she, well, but also remember when Rayanne looked at the family in the last, in the first half of this episode, she watches the chases and is like, I yearn for that normalcy. I think Amber is like, it's nice that this other normal, like, you know, less troubled girl is in my daughter's life.
She's excited, maybe it's good for you to be excited about this too.
Yeah. Though on the other hand, like Amber also is excited about everything, right? Like she's like, Jordan's so amazing and has a big cock and Ricky's the greatest ever and whatever, right? So it may also just be that.
So she, Rayanne says she's excited. Amber's excited. Angela, I guess we're saying is excited. Rayanne's saying, Amber saying she's excited too, though, as excited she was when she served a BLT to Bob Dylan, who said she could call him Bobby. And then Rayanne mentions, and he didn't pay for the sandwich in the end. So,
and also when he said that, he probably went,
So we're led to quickly learn that Rayanne is super nervous. Scared, maybe excited. Are we sort of thinking, could this be leading to a relapse for her? Because all this, like all this endorphins and all this stuff running through her is just going to maybe, I think, is what we're supposed to kind of think, lead to, is she going to make a mistake because of all this stuff that's happening? And she also is like building this night to be a huge night. She's like, this night's going to be incredible, and it's the most exciting night of her life. So,
and we've seen some foreshadowing already from Ricky on this, that
right.
things like this have happened in the past where she's been very excited and then it did not end well.
And that leads her to making bad decisions.
Yeah.
Okay, so we head back to Angela's house, and Teddy's best friend, Patty, is
BFF.
Lamenting over her phone call she had earlier with Amber. I said, as she does, sitting so high on her horse. Mm. Graham mentions how they are both weird. Oh, I did fail to mention earlier that when they hung up on each other originally, they both said they had to go get their other phone.
Yeah.
And Patty's mentioning how, I bet you Amber doesn't even have another phone. And Graham says, we don't have another phone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like you're God such a forbid. Moron. God forbid that somebody not want to talk to Patty. Like, she can't get that through her head.
And all of a sudden, Angela comes flying in with kind of like a needy look on her face. She pretends to her parents that she wants to go, but she doesn't really want to go. But she's sort of asking permission to go to this thing at this coffee house called Vertigo to see a band. But, you know, it's weird between her and Rianne. And it's not Jordan, because they've broken up. But since she OD'd, it's weird. And, you know, she's acting very strangely nice to Patty as she kisses her and thanks her for doing her socks, because she was running out of socks. And Patty, I think, is about to have a heart attack.
I think she's almost asking them for permission to not go.
Oh, 100%. Honestly. That's what it is. She wants to know.
She does this.
Well, she doesn't. I mean, she doesn't even wait for a yes or a no, but she's just kind of...
She's answering it for them.
Yeah. Oh,
I can't go. I get it. Thanks for the socks. Love you. Bye.
She did this back when she didn't want to go to the fuck house with Jordan as well.
Yeah, it's the second time.
Yeah. So this is her tactic.
The 8-room brothel.
Patty is thrilled that Angela gave her a minute of her time. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Told her anything about her life. Yeah. Anything.
Yeah.
Coming up.
But Graham quickly gives her a kick in the back of the leg and knocks her off that horse and tells her that Angela will ignore her for a month to make up for it.
Uh-huh.
Not having a sister, not being a female myself, but Arlo, is this a normal kind of maybe teenage relationship between a mom and a daughter, where it's like fighting and then I'll be nice to you, but don't worry, I'll get back at you later? Is this always happening in sort of a traditional female mother-daughter relationship?
I don't know if mine was traditional, so I don't know if I can answer that. Like, I grew up my teenage years living with my dad, not my mom.
Oh, okay.
So that dynamic was a little bit different for me. But I don't know.
TV's taught me this, but TV teaches you a lot of bullshit, so...
I do think Angela, at least for my experience, is a little bit more closed off than most kids, but I don't know, maybe not.
Okay, and then as Patty is just so verklempt and can't believe how lucky she's been that her wonderful daughter has finally graced her with some presence and talking, head turns to the side as she sees the empty glass of whiskey on the counter, and she looks at Graham and says, "Watson, the game is afoot." Because Sherlock has got a scent.
And in the background, the song Fountain and Fairfax by the Afghan Whigs is playing.
Oh.
And that is a song about the struggles of alcohol addiction.
Oh, there you go.
This Fountain and Fairfax is a crossroad in Los Angeles, California, where a church held Alcoholics Anonymous meetings.
Wow.
I learned something tonight. Thank you, Arlo. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, honestly, my parents weren't as overbearing as Patty is. I could see if your parent was incredibly overbearing that you would not tell them things.
Yeah, well, yeah.
As a tool of self-preservation.
House of lies is where Teddy lives.
You're building your relationship on a house of lies.
Teddy gonna do what Teddy does.
So quick jump now to the Club Vertigo. Now, when I watched this episode and I was told that this was happening at a club called Vertigo, and then we finally set foot in Vertigo, this is not what I was expecting to see. Maybe
I love it. Describe it.
Well, I mean, I can't I mean, it's just, it looks like a coffee house to me.
And that's what it is.
Right. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Traditional coffee house.
Whatever, like, probably not even that long open. Yeah, you'll eventually see. I think the lady comes up soon going, yeah, hi. And she's like, these aren't her people. And just trying to introduce these children. I guess they're going to play a song, I assume.
It's like, if you showed me the Smash Club from Full House, I would have been more expecting that.
Oh, have mercy.
It's a little bit strange, too, because when Angela was explaining about the gig at Vertigo, Rayanne was like, oh, I know about Vertigo.
Yeah.
You're, like, expecting it to be, like, some hot club or something. And, I mean, it doesn't not look like a bar, right?
But, like, a dirty club. Or maybe even a dirty club. It just looks like some place where adults hang out and...
This, I love this part. This is fantastic. Like, it's all built. It's not even built up that much, but it's a nothing. It's just maybe a new coffee house trying to get cool so they can get customers, so they can actually make, make ends meet here.
That's like how it is when you're in a high school band, though, isn't
it?
Yeah,
fair.
Like, sure. You're like the Zit Remedy are just like, yeah, we're going to play our own school dance. And that's going to make us famous.
Whoa.
Like, it's...
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially like a first gig or something like that, like you it's the most important thing in the world to you.
We go to Ricky, who he starts talking to Brian, who shows up, and Ricky's like, what are you doing here? And Brian says something like, you invited me. But it's kind of good that they're still sort of like, I like that this has sort of been this sort of budding friendship between these two. I really like that they've sort of stuck with this, that it's kind of like they are kind of buddies now.
Yeah.
And Ricky's starting to talk, and we notice that his voice is gone. And Brian kind of says, what the hell's wrong with your voice? What the fuck? Ricky said he loses his, sorry, go ahead.
I don't understand why they put this in, because to my memory, this is never going to come up again.
No.
It hasn't come up previously. Ricky seems to be a fairly naturally nervous person.
Yeah.
So I don't know why this was necessary.
We've established very clearly before this scene that Ricky is nervous about what's happening with Rayanne.
Right.
And you can see it in his body language, you can see it in everything. It was totally unnecessary to throw this last piece in. It's like, okay, the audience is too stupid to read the cues, so let's just make him say something really drastic.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah.
He could have just been fidgeting, and yeah. Brian could have exactly. said, what's wrong?
Nails.
And he could say, I'm really nervous, or something.
No, it only yeah, where so- I was like, I bet you Ricky's really calm now. And then when he was like, hi, Brian, I don't have my voice. I was like, he's nervous about his friend. Okay.
Obviously. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we do, as you guys have mentioned, we do learn that Ricky said he loses his voice when he gets nervous, and he's very nervous for Rayanne, which is, we had realized that every hint is that Rayanne is not ready to do this and not going to cope well with the result of what she's going to do.
Well, and very clearly that her friends do not believe in her. Whether they be right or wrong, they do not have faith that this is going to go well, whether it be Angela or Ricky.
Yeah.
And apparently she's never made it the full way through the song. So there's literally nothing to believe in. You go, why would she do it now on stage in front of a bunch of people?
Well, and they clearly haven't rehearsed together, right? Like, they had that one rehearsal that fell apart, and it's like, we ready to do this in front of people. Like, no, you're not.
Yeah, like in theory, like we've led to believe that Rayanne's been to two practices, one of which she's sort of hung in the shadows like a ninja, and then started, you know, canoodling with the drummer. And then a second one where her mic didn't work and she never really sang. So are we led to believe that they've been together for 2.5 days, 3 days?
Maybe. I mean, the one thing that I do like, though, is because I was like, why don't they just kick her out of the fucking band and say you can't do this? But she's banging the drummer. So why, right? Like, that's how she's in at this point.
Well, and they don't have another option.
They don't have an option, right?
Yeah.
And they're limited
will learn they do have an option, Arlo.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
And they're limited by the options of players, because I suspect, like, that bass player is probably kind of a metal guy, but the drummer probably knows every Foreigner song on the drums. So there's gonna be some not chemistry. There's not melding together.
So it's time for the band to go on stage, and we get the host of the show or the local librarian from down the street or whoever this is that they've got, the manager, the barista, whatever, comes up and introduces the band, which kind of funny in the end, as Between Names, which I think they should run with that name. I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's fine.
But this is like, every trope starts to happen, right? Like, they sort of say their name, it's the wrong name, she repeats it, she doesn't know how to talk into the mic. You would think that, like, when they got on stage, the bassist would get wrapped around in a mic cord and fall off the stage because right, of how this is going, right? Like, and again, it has this sitcom Saved by the Bell feel kind of a little bit today. But start playing the song. Band sounds incredible. Like, they really know how to play the song for not having practiced a lot. But Ran forgets to sing most of the song, and then she starts to bop around on the stage like she might be having a little bit of an episode. And then she starts to scene cuts to her seeing people getting up and leaving, or her reading into people getting up and leaving. So then she starts to panic and get nervous, and she just runs off the stage.
No, I was just wondering if anybody has ever done an open mic or anything like that.
No.
I am not a musical person.
Well, I did. Well, actually, Alan, weren't you in a band at one time?
Not a cool band.
Pipe band.
Yeah.
Pipe band. Yeah.
I remember one time back, well, geez, 20 years ago now, but playing open mic with a friend of mine, and we were playing the White Stripes' Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground. He was playing guitar, and I was singing. And we had, like, I was living with a bunch of friends and stuff, and it was the first foyer into downtown St. John's. And I was singing that song and sang the whole song and got to the last line and couldn't remember for the life of me what the last line was. And I remember from the back of the club, and it wasn't super packed or anything. It was probably 20 people there, 25 people, something like that. Just people having beers and whatever.
So much like Virgil.
It was very much, and I could hear a girl go, "He forgot the line." And I did, and I had the mic in my hand, like, it's like a wrestling, you're staring up at the lights and just going, because you got to put a point on it, you got to end the song, and I couldn't end the song, and I just kept hearing the last riff played. My buddy's like, "I don't know the lyrics, man, don't look at me, you're the singer."
You signed up for this.
And I don't know if I mumbled something or whatever, but I still remember that girl going, "He forgot the line." Yeah.
Should have used Rod Stewart's trick in the "Do You Think I'm Sexy" video. Whenever he couldn't remember the words, he turned around from the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, if you watched it at the end.
Forgot the line. So, yeah.
That was Vince Neil's trick. We went to see Vince Neil, and whenever he get too out of breath to sing the line, yes, he'd point the microphone.
I've heard that.
He's huffing and puffing. Poor old Vince. Big Motley Crue fan from back in the day, but old Vince, he's... have you seen the mashup of, like, how... Oh, it's bad, because I hate when satire on the internet hits it perfectly, and they go, "Well, Vince Neil now sounds like Bob Dylan." He's like,
Not even like the middle girls he doesn't have breath for. So he's like, "Girls," points to back front of the audience. Beat. "Girls."
Breath, big breath. As much
he says
as
it once, he's gonna be called girl now.
Yeah, for real.
Oh,
sorry, Vince. Do any of you have stage fright?
No.
Or are you pretty comfortable?
No.
On the old stagey stage.
I would say I'm actually, you put a mic in my hand and I actually take control of that mic. Like, I'm pretty good if I need to. I'm actually quite naturally shy, but if you kind of give me a mic and I know that what I'm doing is there to kind of not be necessarily about me, but to benefit something, like, I can just give me the mic and I'll go with it. I have no problem.
The kids are like, "Ooh." you're like, hey, I'm the microphone assassin. They're like, shut up. No, they don't do that.
No, but I've had to like do assemblies. Like, you know, you get up in front of the class and talk all the time. I've been on stage for different things. Like, I don't have stage fright, but I'm naturally shy. So like, I wouldn't necessarily be the one that would say, hey, give me the mic. I want to do this.
My husband has horrible stage fright. Horrible.
Really?
Yeah, and it's strange because like if he's like just talking to a room of people at a party or something like that, like he'll like tell a story to a big group of people, like no problem. But as soon as it's something where like he has to say lines or do movements or something like that he has to do in the moment, he has the worst fear of it.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy.
What you start to realize as this scene continues is that someone has learned that Jared Leto can sing. So we've learned that this is probably more a vehicle now of let's put Jared Leto on stage and let him sing. So Jordan takes the mic and he starts singing. And if you listen very carefully, you can hear the entire teenage girl North American population swoon together. Because he sings a very, in my opinion, strange version of the song. Because like you said, Teddy, you're supposed to go at the song, straightforward, hit it. And he's sort of swooning it a little bit and trying to like have people fall into his eyes as he sings.
Yeah, he's pop starring it when he's singing it for sure. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
And in this moment, 30 Seconds to Mars was born.
Oh. That's right. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I don't know. I remember I knew Jared Leto was on this show. I knew this is kind of where he became popular. And then all of a sudden, he was in a band. I'm like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Was he known to be a singer, like Arlo, because you watched the show sort of when it came out? Is this a known thing that he was a...
As far as I know, not at the time.
Okay. I didn't think so either, but I didn't know.
I'm sure.
I mean, who knows what he was doing in LA, right? Like, was he playing in a band in LA? Yes. I don't know, but it wasn't in the consciousness of teenage girls that I know of.
Yeah, he very likely was, and then not too long after this, his band was a thing.
So, okay. So, we all of a sudden get a jump to sort of the back hallway of the thing, and Rayanne seems to be having a little bit of a breakdown. If you look at on the wall, it says, ho, 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 ha, 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 death, spray painted on it. I don't know if you noticed. They're really big death is what I saw, so I read the rest of it. And long story short, she kind of hints to Ricky that Ricky wanted her to screw up, and she takes off. Brian tells Ricky that there's nothing to worry about, but he mentions that there is, and it cuts to a commercial. We jump back to Angela's house. Ricky calls Angela, and then out of nowhere, Patty's got a scent. So Patty sees that there's somewhere for her to stick her nose, and she just decides to grab the phone. Just from her daughter. I'm going to take the phone and take this conversation now. One thing, she gets the story of what happened, and instead of Patty normally doing anything about it, she just decides to sit on it now. Not do anything about it, because we learn that the next day, Patty goes to Rayanne's house and reintroduces herself to Amber, who says quite pointedly, like, you don't have to reintroduce yourself every time.
Uh-huh.
Led to believe that Patty thinks Amber is dumb, and weren't they inseparable for an episode, right? They were like budding best friends for an episode. Like, they're not going to forget each other. Amber starts to go on about, because so Amber has no idea why she's really there, right? It's like, in her mind, nothing's happening. So like, what are you doing here? So Amber starts to go on about how their group is a caress, which is a group of people mixed up in each other's lives to do God's work, which comes from Kurt Vonnegut's Cat's Cradle. And she's trying to point out that, as Ted would put it, she isn't a stupid individual. So she's starting to fight back a little bit of Patty, like, I might not be your ideal type of person, but I'm not a dummy. Like, stop talking down to me. So Patty goes on to tell Amber that she thinks Rayanne is drinking again, of which she has no real evidence that this is happening. She's overheard conversations, and she looked at an empty whiskey glass that could have been Graham's for all we know. Amber says no. Patty then starts to climb higher up on her horse, so far that she's getting a nosebleed from the thin air, and she falls flat on her face because Rayanne comes into the room from her bedroom, and Amber tells him that they shut the phone off last night and ate cookie dough. She tells Rayanne she doesn't have to go to school, but Rayanne says she wants to because she wants to calm Ricky, who will be very concerned about here.
So at this point, we've been for the last, what, 3 minutes? I guess there were in real life, there were commercials. So we've spent a little bit of time worried that after this thing at the coffee house, you know, Rand's going to go off on some fucking, like, you know, binge. Right. Yeah. And now the next day, clearly she hasn't. She's at home. She's fine. She went straight home. She was upset, hung out with her mom. And here we are.
Right, so, which is what would normally happen, right? And anyone's like, this could be Angela coming home, and Patty would think this was incredible, right? Spend the night with my daughter. We just sort of ate cookie dough, ate ice cream or whatever. Amber turns to look at Patty and tells her that she's a damn good mom. I think that's debatable. I don't think that's really, maybe she might be reaching a little there.
Uh-huh.
But Patty takes it. Patty understands what she's saying. You're right. She said, maybe even admits in her own way to overstepping her bounds by offering to drive Rand to school. So as they pull in up to school, Rand tells Patty that she poured the whiskey back. She didn't drink it. And then Patty goes on to say, to ask Rand why she didn't tell her that she stopped going to her counselor. And again, I would say, like, why is this
none
Patty
of your
business?
Fucking business, yes. Mrs. Yeah. Chase.
Yeah. And then Rand admits that she didn't tell her because she didn't want to be seen as weak or the type of person that Patty wouldn't want her to, or sorry, that she wouldn't be allowed to hang out with Angela on the real. And because Patty wants to hang out with Angela, Rand says, this is something that the two of them have in common. Or maybe Patty said, this is something the two of us have in common. Patty goes on about being in the same carass and that she should call her Patty. And I said, fuck off. Like, come on. In no
I
world.
Mean, she
is
already
this mother...
does, not to your face.
Yeah. She calls you Patty Cake.
Yeah.
But in a poignant sort of okay part of this episode, maybe a little growth from Rand. I don't know what you want to call it. Rand starts to leave the car. She stops, turns around, waits a beat, and then thanks Patty for saving her. So Patty got her Christmas gift.
Yeah.
She acknowledges the seriousness of what has happened.
Which we'll see is what we're led to believe that Rand has overcome this. And then we will see that that might not be so true. We jump to the office. Rand's waiting to hand her late slip in. She sees Ricky, throws her late slip and says, I'm late, and runs off after him. And then Ricky just starts to go off on her. Ricky wants none of her, basically tells her to fuck off.
Ricky's done with it. He's tired of worrying about it.
He was so scared that she was going to die and that he spent all night picking clothes out for her funeral. Now, I understand why they're portraying it this way. I get it's supposed to be dramatic. I think this is well over dramatic by Ricky. But you know what? We're led to believe this has happened a few times. I can let that part slide. You can be incredibly concerned.
Right. Like for us, it's only happened once to Rand, right? Like we just know that she got her stomach pumped one time or whatever. We don't know how many times this has happened to Ricky in terms of him having to look after her when she's been in some kind of way.
Sure. Like I'll say she's 15 years old. I can't imagine it so many times, but that's for another day. So then here we go. We skip to some weird, super unsafe, random school window balcony. Is it a fire escape? I'm not really sure.
I'm going to say fire escape.
But I don't think that this would ever exist in any school that I've ever been around because it's just outside a window and Rand's just allowed to sit on it. So that seems weird. Angela comes out and sits on it with her. So now we have two kids out on this wide open window hellscape. Angela tells Rand how scared she was and like, really? Did we miss a scene where Angela seemed scared? Because all we got was the phone call and then Patty grabbing the phone, but maybe it was
presumably she stayed at home being worried.
Yeah, let's say it. Rand admits that things are weird because she doesn't like being judged all the time. She's scared or she doesn't like that Angela's going to think she's going to go on a bender again, that they won't be friends. They go on to say that nothing's changed, but then we get an Angela monologue over top that says, even though we say nothing's changed, that something had changed. Rand said that things used to be easier when you'd come to me for advice and stuff. Angela said she should have been at the show no matter what. I kind of agree with that. You probably should have been there for your friend. Rand said she's missed her. We got that sense throughout the episode. And then where I don't really like in this episode, Ricky comes in and then just decides to give her a hug and kind of forgive her. Like, why couldn't this show, especially where we see where this show goes next week, why wouldn't they just leave him being pissed at her? Anyone have any ideas? Like, I think it would have been better if they just, if that wouldn't have happened. He just, you know what? I'm sick of you. I'm done with this. Fuck off. Get away from me.
I mean, for a show that doesn't need to tie up loose ends all the time, they seem to try to tie this one up, right? Yeah. And I mean, maybe it's important for what's going to happen in the very last scene. I don't know. But like, you know, you've got the sense right now, like, oh, like everything's fine. We're you know, we're in a happy place. But I guess they wanted a different kind of cliffhanger. So I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Sure. Maybe. So then we jump to the last scene, which is at a movie theater, a line waiting outside for a movie theater. They're waiting to see a movie that Ricky just loves. And I think they mentioned, so it must be an old movie. They mentioned James Dean's in it. Did I hear that right?
Yes.
Maybe? Yeah. So like an old movie?
Yes, they're questioning whether James Dean is Italian.
Right. And then and then Rand says that she loves Latin guys. And they kind of start talking about it. And she says, especially Luis. And they're like, who? She's like, Luis from Sesame Street. The guy who owned the fix-it shop. He could fix anything. So they sort of make fun of her, but she says she doesn't care. She loves Sesame Street. She still watches it every day, which is good because they actually showed her watching that. And so sure. It's a little bit, which is kind of neat. Like, I don't mind that. And then they all decide to start breaking out into the Sesame Street theme song.
Well, but Ricky, before he's like, oh, you remember that song like that they sang like that? What is it? And then he kind of doesn't. And I'm like, it's the theme song. Like, yeah, everyone knows the song.
Every kid knows that
yeah.
song.
Like when he started saying, you remember that song they used to sing? I thought, is it one of the like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yes, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? Yeah. But no, it's the theme song.
Yeah.
I will say that I think in this scene, they do a really good job of being obnoxious teenagers that are too loud. You know, like when you were a teenager and like being loud was equated with being funny or something. And like, I'm just like, as an adult, I'm looking at it and just thinking like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Like as you get older, like, so like my wife would hate this because she's not around teens. I can tolerate this stuff because this is the shit I see all the time. But if we were in a line and this was happening, my wife would be like, the fuck is wrong with these kids? Be like, whatever. They're just teenagers. They're not bothering you. Well, now we apparently learn that Rand can really sing, and she goes into, now, we all know the Sesame Street theme song,
right? We do. Everyone
does. I would say anyone that
watches. It would be silly to suggest that you don't know it, like Ricky did.
And one would say it would be silly to maybe sing it any other way than it was originally to be sung, but maybe even worse, into a jazzy, sultry version, which sexualizes a song that was written for very young kids. So Rand goes into this big, big number, and she does a pretty good job singing it, I will say, considering what we thought of her as a singer. And we're led to believe that the group seems to be back to normal. They're enjoying this fun. The other people in line seem to like the way she sang it. There's a group of sort of early 20-something-year-old, maybe business guys in the line as well. And the show ends with her sort of canoodling with them and grabbing their beer, which for some reason they must have lax open drinking laws in Pittsburgh. She takes a big, long swig from the random guy's beer, and that's where the episode ends, because then we're allowed to believe, oh fuck, no, she is still drinking. So, and that's the end of that's how the episode ends.
Well, and it's sort of interest there, like we've spent the entire episode thinking that she's going to relapse because of stress or fucking up or being upset or whatever, and really what does it is sort of an unconscious happiness moment instead,
right? Where like her inhibitions are kind of down because everyone's loving what she's doing. She's in a state of kind of euphoria. And this is what you do when you're having fun.
Yeah. And like literally the entire episode, it's been everybody worrying that she's going to relapse because of bad things happening. Right. I guess some final thoughts. I find the way that they sort of approach Rand's alcoholism and drug abuse kind of like refreshing. Because I think with a lot of like other teen shows, they're like the person just gets over their addiction and that's it. You know, like, you know, Jesse Spano's just like, I'm so excited. I'm so scared. And like in subsequent episodes, it's not like anyone's always glancing at Jesse to see if she's doing okay or that she's going to relapse or like that they're expecting her to do something bad. It's just like she just got over it and that's it. She's never going to take drugs again. Or you have someone like Emily Valentine on 90210 who I guess they go to a rave and Brandon finds out that she uses drugs and like, that's it, broke up with her, written out of the show. Gone. You know, and that's sort of what you see with most teen programs. And like in this one, like not only are you seeing the person who's dealing with the addiction, but you're seeing the fallout of the people who care about that person and the stress that is put on them in terms of like the trauma that they've been through as a result of that person's addiction, which I think is interesting. Sorry, go ahead.
I like the dust up between the bass player and the drummer. No, not really. No, it was fine. Yeah. I'm a bit concerned that she's like all on the 33 days clean, like that kind of mantra as a teenager. Like that seems to me like an older kind of thing you'd get into. Like if you're doing that at 16, and maybe that's people's lives, I don't know. But it seems like a really adult thing. Somebody who's been through the ringer and kind of finding redemption after and going, yeah, like following that, it's like, oh, I'm 33 days. It's like, I don't know, just count. Like, there's also a thing about growing up too, about pushing it too much. Now, that said, there is alcoholics and drug addicts from a very young age, and knowing that they're like that from a very young age. Actually, just before the show, I got finished watching Baby J by John Mulaney, which is a very interesting stand-up, and it's all about his addiction and trials and tribulations. So anyways, big recommend there. But yeah, that just stuck out to me as kind of different.
I will say that like Angela and Ricky and Patty are all a little bit dramatic with Fran's addiction, I think, because like you know, as soon as like there's a possibility that she could, you know, have a drink, it's just like, oh my God, she's going to overdose and end up in the hospital again. And yeah, it's like, okay, like she ended up in the hospital one time. Like if, you know, maybe she'll like have a bad day and have a drink. Is it great for her recovery? No, it isn't. But it doesn't mean that she's going to end up in the hospital.
Yeah, but I think, you know what, like if we're looking at this as a way a 15-year-old might react to these things happening, like things are life and death to them. So for Angela to react and say like, no, don't do that. You are going to die because I saw you maybe die. Maybe isn't that crazy? Like, did they overreact? Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
But, I mean, Angela and Ricky,
kind of like standard.
Angela and Ricky, what about Patty? Like,
yeah.
Patty's like, there's an open bottle of booze in my house. Rayanne must be dead.
Must be Rayanne, and she's dead.
Yeah.
Ricky, go pick out your funeral clothes again.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, next week we've got, next time we meet anyway, next week, we will be talking about episode 15. It's titled So-Called Angels. It's described as Angela is searching for a runaway Ricky and gets lost in a world of homeless kids. Now, by accident, because I was typing some notes as it skipped to the next episode, I saw like the first like 5 seconds of this episode and it looks like it's dark. Like it's going to be a dark episode. Maybe it turns into a joyful romp. I don't know.
I seem to remember this one is sort of like the Christmas episode.
Yeah, it is a Christmas episode, and it was actually released on December 22nd. So, we had a Halloween episode. Now we have a Christmas episode. So,
yeah.
Well, the beginning is pretty dark. Maybe they learn All right, so before we say goodbye, I'd like to leave our listeners with a few questions, or maybe us a few questions you could ponder. So the end of this episode, are we a carass? Is Amber stealing leftover appetizers from Applebee's? Should high schools have wrought iron balconies on hallway windows? And most importantly, is Courtney still on this podcast? Let us know, listeners.
I can answer one. I got on another side group text. A secret one, another with another bunch of friends. Sorry, I'm sorry to break the eye of other friends too. I'm popular. She is actually currently in Port Hope with this recording, supposedly. Ooh. Yeah, she's looking. She's going to memories. She's
doing the wheel memory tour.
Yeah,
we miss you, Courtney. All right, let's send it around the horn for our goodbyes because we've had a time. You know, let me take out my driver this time, set up my tee a little bit higher because I need to get under that ball and crush it all the way out to Saskatchewan.
Arlo, you can follow me on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT. I don't know anything about golf, but let's say I'm throwing the golf ball to Toronto.
It's Alan, slip with five eyes or slip. Good golf lesson for everybody. You can follow us on Twitter at Narbos Podcast, on Instagram at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast, and email us, narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. And I'm going to dropkick the ball all the way out to Newfoundland.
Missile dropkick. Nice. Yeah, I'm Ted. I'm Sam Wathry. I'm thinking about deleting the whole thing, but we'll see. I thought that before, but we'll see. Yeah. That's all.
And I am Tim at FallyT on Twitter. And you know what, everybody? Thank you for a wonderful evening tonight. Peace out.
Bye.
Well, I just said I don't get my up. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe, just to get to my dreams. We'll be right back.